That we have with us this morning. We appreciate the fact that you are here, and we certainly look forward, as has already been mentioned by way of announcement and also in the prayers that have been uttered, to renew acquaintances that have been formed in time past over many years. And certainly this morning, as we are gathered here during this worship period on this Lord's Day, we have already focused our attention in a number of ways on the reality of the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. As you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask that you turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, and this morning we're going to look at verses 12 through 21 as we study the context of 2 Peter together. 2 Peter written in about A.D. 66. And as has been stated in previous lessons on this book, perhaps in Bible classes or in sermons, Peter reminds brethren of things that are fatal to forget. Historically, messianic movements in Jewish history were connected to revolts against various governments that held the nation of Israel captive. At the time of the Syrian revolt, an individual by the name of Menahem appeared in Jerusalem as a messianic leader. He was murdered by his foes while wearing royal robes after proclaiming himself to be the Messiah. And then Simon bar Giora was captured after the destruction of Jerusalem, wearing a white tunic with a purple mantle. There arose a tradition around Bar Giora that he was said to have arisen out of the ground where the temple had formerly stood. The temple was the dominant area or matrix for Jewish society during Second Temple Palestinian Judaism. This is the Jewish period of Jesus and his disciples. Other pseudo-messiahs like Eleazar ben Dina, Lucius Andreas in Cyrene on the northern African coast, and Simon bar Kokhba in Palestine were regarded by a number of their followers as messianic claimants. Well, Josephus, as one reads his annals, lists 10 individuals who were probably regarded by messiahs as messiahs by their adherents or followers. Now, we are gathered here this morning not to study or reminisce the pseudo-messiah movement, that is, those who were regarded as messiahs before the birth of Jesus and those who were regarded by messiahs, by their followers, after the birth of Jesus. In fact, we are here this morning to render honor and devotion and praise to one whom we believe, based upon sacred facts, is none other than the Messiah of God. And so it is that we are members of the Church of Christ because we believe that Jesus is the Messiah. As we study the context of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter calls our attention in verses 12 through 16 to remembrance. Peter writes by inspiration, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, "Wherefore I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things." That is, those fundamental doctrines that he has already discussed, particularly in verses 5, 6, and 7, how we are to grow in our faith. But Peter has mentioned something else as well. He has mentioned divine promises, precious and exceeding great promises. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter talks about the revealed Word of God, the inspired will of God. "Seeing that His divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and unto godliness, through the knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and virtue, whereby He hath granted unto us His precious," and that means most valuable, "and exceeding great," this means most beneficial, "promises, that through these ye may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 3, speaks about these promises. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, he talks about the promise of Christ's coming in the context of verses 4 through 9. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter speaks of the promise of the end of this world, the material age. And then the third promise of which Peter speaks in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13 is the promise of a new heaven and a new earth, our heavenly home after our glorification unto God. Peter speaks about these promises and then bases these promises upon revealed, inspired, inerrant facts or truths, these given to us by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit himself. John 14, 25 and 26, John chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. Peter calls us to remember certain things as far as his own testimony is concerned. In verses 12 through 16, Peter calls upon us to remember the evidence or the facts for the Messiahship of Jesus. This is very important as we turn our attention and focus to the issue of the hour. Why are we members of the Church of Jesus Christ? Primarily because we believe, based upon revealed facts contained in the New Testament, those revealed facts prophesied in the Hebrew Scriptures and fulfilled in the New Testament, that Jesus is none other than the one, the only, the true Son of God, the Messiah, the anointed one of God, not merely in a political sense, but in a true Davidic and divine sense. Well, in verses 12 through 16, Peter writes, "Wherefore I shall be ready always to put you in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and are established in the truth which is with you. And I think it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." Now look at verse 14. Peter says, "Knowing that," and remember, the knowledge that Peter is speaking is not assumption, it is not opinion, it is not mere personal belief or conjecture, but rather this knowledge comes to us through the objective Word of God, the revealed Word of God, the inspired Word of God, "knowing that the putting off of my tabernacle cometh swiftly, even as our Lord Jesus signified unto me. Yea, I will give diligence that at every time ye may be able, after my departure or decease, to call these things to your remembrance." Peter then says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. But," he says, "we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our own eyes, that which we have beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, that which we have seen and heard declare we," John wrote in the long ago, "unto you." Remember the evidence for the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. When we contemplate the reality of the Messiahship, we understand, based upon a teaching of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, which is reiterated and reinforced in New Testament teaching, that the Messiahship of Jesus was the theme of the Old Testament prophets, Acts chapter 3 and verse 20. The Messiahship of Jesus was the theme of the apostles in their preaching, Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. It was the theme of the message to the Jews, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. It was the theme of the message to the Samaritans, Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 3, and Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. It was the theme of the message given unto the Gentiles, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. The Messiahship of Jesus was the theme of the gospel, which is for today. And by implication, it is the theme of the gospel message today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. We also know that God's anathema is upon those who preach any other gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Peter calls upon us to remember the evidence, the factual evidence for the Messiahship of Jesus. He also states that he did not follow cunningly devised fables. One may talk about the pseudo-messianic movements before the birth of Jesus, and there were many. One may read and study about the pseudo-messianic movements after the death of Jesus, and there are many. In our own day, one simply has to recall such names infamous in our own social history as Jim Jones, as David Koresh of Waco, Texas, of others who have come in our own society proclaiming that in some unusual or distinct way, they are the anointed of God. It's important for us to ground ourselves and to center ourselves spiritually in the realization that there is no other Messiah than Jesus. There is no other Lord than Jesus, no other Savior than Jesus himself. And so it is that we transition very quickly to the next point in our lesson this morning, and that is Peter calls upon us to remember the authenticity for the Messiahship of Jesus, verses 17 and 18. In verse 17, Peter declares, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was revealed such a testimony concerning him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Our students in the Southwest School of Bible Studies are taught a variety of passages demonstrating the authority of Jesus. We know that Jesus taught with authority, Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. Jesus is our authorized prophet of God, Acts chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, with Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15 being the primary Old Testament prophecy concerning this fact. Jesus is the authorized head of the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and he is to have first place or preeminence in our lives in this authority, Colossians chapter 1. Verses 17 and 18. Jesus Christ is the authorized spokesman of God today. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth today. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. But there is another passage that is also emphasized concerning the authority of Jesus. And it is the same account that Peter himself makes comment on in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. The context is found in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. Peter, James, and John are with Jesus on what is known to us as the Mount of Transfiguration. Here, the very visage of Jesus was changed or transformed. Moses, representing the Torah, the Old Testament law, is present with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Elijah, who is the representation, the embodiment of the prophet's tradition, is also present with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Here, for the second time in recorded revelational history, the voice of God is heard by men, authenticating the sonship, the authority, and the messiahship of Jesus. God declared, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." In Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 5, God adds this, "Hear ye him." Jesus did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. Rather, as he testified, he came to fulfill, and he fulfilled in his messianic ministry and mission. And so it is that Simon Peter, calling us to remember the authenticity for the messiahship of Jesus, reminds us that he himself was present on the Holy Mount, as he calls it, the Mount of Transfiguration. "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was revealed such a testimony concerning him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then Peter adds, by way of first person factual testimony, and this voice we ourselves heard, given from heaven when we were in the holy mount. The call is for us today to remember the divine authenticity for the Messiahship of Jesus. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We know that Jesus himself is the foundation of the church, being himself the very founder of the body, the church that bears his name. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. Paul declared in the long ago, for other foundation can no man lay other than that which has already been laid, which is Christ Jesus. Religious movements have come and gone throughout temporal history. Some have founded their own churches. But Paul stated so well in the long ago, for other foundation can no man lay than that which has already been laid, which is Christ Jesus. This is the basis for the confession that Peter made, as recorded in Matthew chapter 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus responded, Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, not Peter, but upon the very foundation of Jesus himself, as Paul comments on in 1 Corinthians 3:11, Jesus built his church. Jesus is not only the founder of the church, being himself the founder and the foundation of it, he built upon the foundation. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he purchased that which he built with his own blood. Peter calls upon us to remember the authenticity for the Messiahship of Jesus. And then finally this morning, there is a third area of remembrance that Peter encourages all of us to engage in on a regular basis, and that is to remember the revelation for the Messiahship of Jesus, as Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, a passage that is familiar to most of us in this auditorium this morning. Peter declares, and we have the word of prophecy made more sure. In the Greek, literally what he is saying is, we have the word of prophecy established forever. Whereunto, Peter says, ye do well that you take heed. And that is advice to us today in our own spiritual lives. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your minds. The awareness of the reality of the Messiahship of Jesus. In verse 20, Peter reiterates, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And yet, how many people do we hear today, or how many people have told us, well, you interpret the Bible your way, I'll interpret the Bible my way, and we'll both get to heaven. Peter said some 2,000 years ago, by way of inspiration, knowing this first, that is, pay attention to this fundamental, first principled truth, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In fact, the next verse explains why. Verse 21, for no prophecy, Peter declared, ever came by the will of man. But rather men spake from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Again, Mark 13, 11, John 14, 25 and 26, John 16, verses 12 and 13, many other passages in the New Testament. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, Paul wrote to the young evangelist, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God literally spirited his word to man through the medium of his own spirit. And so it is that the prophecy that we have in the Bible is not of human crafting. It is not based upon human tradition, but neither is the interpretation a subjective interpretation. Rather, we are to interpret the Word of God reasonably and rationally. Remember the revelation for the Messiahship of Jesus. Turn in your Bibles for just a moment to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Another passage that is very familiar, and yet this is exactly what John himself is speaking about. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. How important is the revelation of the Messiahship of Jesus to us as believers today? John helps us to understand by writing in the long ago, John 20, verses 30 and 31, many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book. But look at verse 31. Here is the purpose, the reason. But these are written that ye may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing ye may have life in His name. Turn for just a moment to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is regarded as the great resurrection chapter in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and look particularly at verses 3 through 8. We've already mentioned verses 1 through 4, but notice particularly 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 through 8, in regard that we are to remember the revelation for the Messiahship of Jesus. Paul writes, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." That's Galatians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. Jesus revealed these truths to Paul himself. Paul did not create the truths. He did not receive the truths according to human religious tradition or dogma. He did not invent these truths as mere subjective opinions. And he tells us this in Galatians 1, beginning in verse 6. And so Paul says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He hath been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then He appeared to above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until now, but some have passed away. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, as to the child untimely born, He appeared unto me also." We are today to remember the revelation for the Messiahship of Jesus. Other lessons in this lectureship series will emphasize faith, the belief system for New Testament Christianity, that it is based not upon holding, again, oral human traditions that are created by man, crafted by man, but rather our faith is based upon fact, the fact of God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible revelation to us today through His Word. In Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is that we close our lesson this morning, that again we emphasize the fact that Peter wants us to remember. He wants us to remember the reality of Jesus, the Messiahship of Jesus. He calls upon us to remember the authenticity of the Messiahship of Jesus. He calls upon us to remember the revelation for the Messiahship of Jesus. And as Peter closes the first chapter of his second epistle, the second epistle that bears his name, he reminds us of a very solemn truth and implies a solemn charge. That is, our faith must always rest, your faith must always rest, if it is that faith which is approved alone of God, upon the things that are found in this book. We know Jesus taught in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 50, that His Word is the standard by which we are to live our lives today. It is also that standard by which we will be judged one day. Jesus declared in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken," Jesus says, "the same shall judge him in the last day." we know the standard by which we are to live. The standard by which all of us ultimately will be judged. And it is based upon the greatest of all theme, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah of God, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Is Jesus your Lord this morning? Have you obeyed the gospel? The Bible teaches that through faith, repentance, confession, and New Testament water baptism, that all of your sins will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb Jesus. And that by living a faithful, a serving, a growing, and evangelistic Christian life, you bear in your heart and mind the greatest of all hopes, the hope of heaven as your eternal home. This morning, won't you prepare yourself spiritually to enter your spiritual reward? If you've not done so, obey the gospel this morning while time yet remains. All things are ready. We have individuals ready to assist you this morning. If you have any need, any desire, won't you let it be known even now by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.
Come, make the ready. Come to the feet.